Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Totally. You know what's funny is you're doing this to me right now.
Charleston.
Goddamn. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, Make the Day Make Sense is what we try to do on this podcast. Glad you could be here.
Mm-hmm. And I am Marielle Segarra. Today is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. First, we'll check in on the news of the day, and then we will share some Make Me Smiles. But before that, Kai, how are you?
Well, so we were talking about this, and I don't know if it's actually going to make it on the pre-roll. And if it does make it on the pre-roll, Bridget Bonder, then I'm, you know, I guess I'm wasting everybody's 60 seconds here. But and we talked about this, right? So Monday was rough for both of us. I think we were both a little hollowed out. And Thursday today, I'm a little cranky, but I'm not really hollowed out. So I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I think I have adjusted a little bit, and I'm doing those things that bring me joy. I'm trying to incorporate that every day, a little pocket of something. Good. Yeah.
Are you still on the beach somewhere in Puerto Rico?
Oh yeah. So it's not that hard to find the joy.
well, so that settles that, right? Hollowed out shell, uh-huh. My patootie.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Not so much.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So I think you should start today, because I'm going to kind of build off of what you're talking about.
Okay, so let's talk oil and energy and the current state of play, right? There are sanctions on something like 80% of Russian finances. It has been shut out of most of the global economy, except for oil and gas, right? And it's been shut out except for oil and gas because the West needs Russia's oil and gas. Europe specifically needs their natural gas for heating. And the United States needs its oil because we consume a lot of oil, and for a whole lot of reasons, we cannot meet our own demands. So Jen Psaki was asked today, the White House press secretary, was asked today if there is a plan inside the White House to stop buying, for America to stop buying Russian oil and gas. We import something like 600,000 barrels of Russian oil every single day. And at $100 a barrel, that is a boatload of money that is going to Vladimir Putin and Moscow, and thus is helping to, in some indirect way, fund the war in Ukraine. And Psaki said, we do not right now have a strategic interest, the United States, in maximizing the impact on Russia while minimizing impact. We do not have a strategic interest in reducing the global supply of energy, and that would raise prices at the gas pump for the American people around the world. So I think what it is for the Biden administration is that they don't have a political interest in reducing the global supply of energy, because that would bring home to everybody the costs of the war. And Biden said this 10 days ago in a speech, that it's going to hurt us in addition to hurting the Russians, sanctions. And look, gas on average in California now is $5 a gallon. The national average is $3.74, which is really high. And I totally get it. But it seems to me to be incongruous for us to be sanctioning the bejesus out of the Russian economy and at the same time sending them millions of dollars a day for oil. I don't quite get that. I honestly don't. And I'm not sure it's sustainable for the White House to do that. I'm just really not. It's kind of stunning.
And the White House is at odds with legislators here, right? There's a bipartisan proposal to block Russian oil imports.
Yep, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's Republicans, mostly Republicans, but also a couple of Democrats from fossil fuel producing states who say, hey, let's just raise our production here. Let's pump more oil and gas out of the ground. And you can see how that's a challenge for a Democratic White House, right, which has really strong progressive pressure to enact a green agenda. And, oh, by the way, if we pump more oil and gas, that does really bad things to a green agenda. So it's really, really hard. But I think geopolitically and credibility-wise, it is tough for the Biden administration to hold the line on sending all that money to Moscow. I really, really do. I don't know.
So I have two reactions here. One is, I know you talked about maybe on this show and also on Marketplace about the polling showing that Americans were actually okay with some increases in price.
Yeah. So that was really
interesting. I wonder how real that is.
Yeah, so that was last week, right? It was a Washington Post, ABC News poll that said, respondents basically said, yes, definitely, we totally are in favor of sanctions, even if it costs us a little bit more. And it was like 60-20 or something like that, 60 in favor. And then the Post said, well, what if gas costs $4 a gallon? Are you in favor of it then? And then it went 51-30, like in a heartbeat. And so you can see it's a really sensitive issue. The public is attuned to it. And look, I love my minivan, but I'm going to go out this afternoon and I'm going to pay, what's 16 gallons times $5? I'm going to pay $80-something, $90-something to fill up that car. And I need to buy myself a Tesla. That's all I'm saying. You know?
Yeah. Well, this actually gets at something I was wondering about and what I wanted to talk about, whether this war is going to accelerate the shift toward clean energy. It's something that we know needs to happen, right? That climate report that came out the other day. Things are dire. We're well into the danger zone. So in the way that the pandemic pushed us forward by possibly, you know, decades in terms of how many people are working remotely and showing that that was possible, does this war create an opportunity? And what does the reality look like in that transition? Because, okay, if we do cut off Russian oil imports and if other countries do the same, you'll need to have an alternative. What are the incentives for the companies that create those alternatives? What are we incentivizing? Right. Are we incentivizing fracking, you know, or do we incentivize more green energy? And how quickly can that happen?
Yep. I think it may well be a forcing function, right? We're still so early in this thing. I mean, we're still so early. I saw a great tweet today appealing to my interest in history. 1 week into the war in 1939, right? The Germans invaded Poland on September the 1st, 1939. 1 week into the war, they still hadn't captured Warsaw. They still hadn't captured most of the country, but we all know how that turned out. So we're so early yet. We are so early yet. But it might be that this is the forcing function on a whole lot of things. So anyway, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's one other thing that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, so I felt like it's okay to go a little dark.
You don't have to, but okay.
But here it is. There was a Times story that caught my eye about the how the supply chain is affecting tombstones. And they're, so basically, because if you're making a tombstone, you need to use certain kind of rubber stencils to carve the letters in. And 3M was a big maker of those stencils, and then it stopped making them because of its own supply chain considerations and business strategy as a result. And so tombstone engravers now, they only have a certain number of those stencils left, and they can get them from smaller suppliers, but there just aren't enough. And they could maybe get them from China, but that has its own supply chain concerns. So what's happening is that people are just waiting a long time, like a year or more, for a tombstone for their loved one. And I think this is important. Maybe it's obvious, but it's like, I've been thinking about this as I'm in Puerto Rico. I think I told you that I'm looking for the graves of some of my family members who died as children or infants in Puerto Rico, my aunts and uncles. And I know where they're buried, but I don't know where in the cemetery they're buried, and it's very hard to find for a lot of reasons having to do with record keeping and financial stuff. But it's important. The reason I keep going is because I want to honor them. Like seeing their literal tombstone, having it etched into stone shows that they existed. And it shows that like somebody remembers them. That's why we do this. And that's why we have tombstones. It's a place to go. It means a lot to people who are grieving and to future generations. So having to wait so long for it, I think, adds to people's grief.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. That's a really good point. And it's, look, this war, and this is a terrible thing to say. This is, relatively speaking, right? It's the biggest land war in Europe since World War II. We all know that. But relatively speaking, it's contained and it's small-ish, right? And it's already having these effects. And please, don't at me with the whole, it's huge and it's catastrophic for the people of Ukraine. Yes, it is. But the impact it's having on the global economy, all the way down to tombstone stencils, is outsized. And I think it talks about how we're globalized and how interconnected everything is and all of that.
So I do need to say, I believe that this supply chain issue was already the case before because of the pandemic.
All right. Well, that's
there are more people, unfortunately, there are more people dying now because of the pandemic and because of this war. And so that adds to the demand problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that is pretty dark. And I think it is time to smile.
Let us do that. Good grief. All right. I'll go first just because mine's not a smile. It's more of a, this is a good thing. The White House, there are give or take 30,000 Ukrainians in the United States studying, working, doing what have you. And the White House today granted them what is known as TPS, temporary protected status, which means they can stay while there is unrest in their homeland. They don't have to go home and endanger themselves. It is time limited, although typically those do get extended for quite a while. And it kind of depends on what happens with the war. But this is a good thing, right? Because we can't be throwing people out and say, hey, you go back to a war zone. I'm in favor of that. And I think that's a good thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's like a head nod. Glad that happened. Okay. Well, mine is around that idea of, like, you and I talked about needing to find those pockets of joy in your life. And I have realized that for me, one of the things that brings me joy is like hunting for treasure or discovering things. And so I was out on the beach this morning listening to Marketplace, actually, in my headphones, and hunting for sea glass. Have you ever done this?
Nice.
Have you, like, found sea glass?
Not.
Okay.
Oh, I've found it. Yeah. I've never gone looking, but it's super cool. The way it all gets smooth and everything, super cool.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, it's pieces of glass that were once trash, that were pollution, you know, from could be hundreds or even thousands of years ago. It gets tumbled in the ocean and it comes out as treasure. You know, you can look at a piece of glass that's blue and know because it's blue, it probably came from this era in history because blue glass was only made really during this era, or, you know, the shape of it, or you could be holding a piece of pottery too from like thousands of years ago. It's amazing.
That's cool. That is super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that made me smile today.
So did you find good stuff? Are you bringing good stuff
home? I did.
Home?
And apparently so I found green and clear and a little bit of blue and some shells that hopefully don't have anything living in them because they're in my purse right now. I hope they haven't spawned or anything, the snails that come out of them. But I'm going to maybe make some earrings or like maybe sort of piece of art
jewelry
when I get home. I haven't yet, but I make all kinds of stuff. I make little reindeer out of Christmas tree scraps and stuff like that. So I think I can. I'm going to try.
We're good. That's cool. That's cool. All right, Charlton, hit us on the way out here, pal. There we go. That's cool. I didn't know that.
I kind of can't see you making tiny reindeer out of Christmas trees.
I'm not a tiny reindeer guy. No. All right, we're done. I'm back tomorrow with Kimberly for Economics on Tap, live streaming on YouTube as well, 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern, and once again, YouTube, Discord, all that good stuff.
And keep sending your comments and questions as emails or voice memos to makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a message at 508-UB-SMART. Oh my God, we ran out of time.
We ran out of music. Sorry, no credits today.
We made this ourselves.
All right, I'm kidding. Marissa, we know what that is. Mark A. Green, we know what he does. Today's episode, Charlton Thorpe, fine, whatever.
Bridget Bodner.
Those people do all the work.
Donna Tam, director of On Demand.
Let's get new hosts who can hit a freaking time post, shall we?
Jeez. Oh, man.
That's a little embarrassing.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.